You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Like this morning, I was texting my friend Grace, and we were just talking political satire.
Right, as one does.
And you know, we were just bashing like vintage resellers and like how much they charge for like their money, and we were like, you know, we just gotta support like Jeff Bezos this year, and you know, like it's like capitalist, you know, this year, right?
Is this like ironic? Like
yeah, it's just okay, all
okay.
Satire.
Okay.
And then, you know, as a joke, I pulled up, I went to Vivek Ramaswamy's website because I was just going to screenshot, you know, his motto and send it to her and be like, you know, this
Whose
is the
website?
Vibes that we're on. Vivek Ramaswamy, are you familiar? You are. We've talked about
him. Oh, yes, yes.
If you're not familiar, Vivek Ramaswamy is one of the leading Republican candidates for a 2024 election. And he is Indian.
Okay.
And it's just funny because it's like I've been looking for representation like my whole life, and this is the guy that I see. So I go on his website, right, and his website is hilarious because right in the beginning, like you enter the website and he just has like 10 commandments to follow,
right?
And I'll read out a couple to you.
I love how we're starting off.
You just go to Vivek2024.com and you'll find this. Right. Number one, God is real.
Okay.
Number two, there are two genders.
Okay.
Number three, human flourishing requires fossil fuels.
Wow.
So this is the vibes that we're on, you know, this year. And it just got me thinking how, like, you know, for obvious reasons, a lot of brown people are not on the Biden wave this year. You know, yes. We know.
Yes.
And so it just got me thinking, like, what are the vibes for like 20? Because like.
What are the presidential vibes?
We're voting this year.
Yeah.
So like, what are we like? Is it are we Trump? Like, are we MAGA this year?
Can you imagine?
Like, are we like, like what are we this year?
Yeah.
You know, what do you what's going on this year?
I have no idea.
No.
I gotta really like look into it because at this point it just seems like the lesser of the two evils.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's like, and I feel like so many people are gonna, especially so many young people are just like gonna just not vote this year
because
they just don't want to.
Which doesn't
like,
make it better either.
Literally.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm Vivek 2024.
Great story that you just started out with.
I would love to hear like, what are the vibes this year, you know?
Right.
Because like I'm just curious because I think this year is going to be a crazy year.
Comment down below your presidential candidate for the year. Let me know if you guys are running.
Are we Vivek 2024, you know?
Should he run for president? Can you imagine if you were running for president?
Yo, my 10 commandments. Everybody plays chess.
Eat Popeye's chicken nuggets.
Everybody eats Popeye's. And, you know, down with the vintage resellers because
right.
I'm tired of these $100 20 jeans.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I feel you. Thank you for that little intro.
Welcome back to our podcast.
Called Difficult Dish.
It's a podcast about different South Asian narratives. And it's hosted by myself, Mosh Noon.
And my co-host. And it's hosted by me, Mahul Khan.
And before we get any further, of course, like the video. Like the video, rate the video, review the video, review the podcast, rate the podcast. Any combobulation of these words that I'm saying, you understand what your duty
you
is.
You get it.
You understand what your role
you
is
get it.
As a pod listener. If you're on YouTube, you're welcome. You get to see us. If you're only listening.
He's in another day, another jersey.
Another jersey. I need more.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Okay.
It's so funny before we start. You know, you said your name, Mashum and Mahua. I got an email the other day. Hi, Mashua.
It's like,
and his name was nowhere, like, anywhere for them to put an S in my name to combine
like,
it somehow.
It's like they put the S between the O and the H.
Right.
And, like, on the keyboard, the S
There's
is, like, all
S
the way on
so
the other
far.
Side.
Like, it's hard to make a mistake like that, you know? Like, you got to go out of your way to make the difficult mistake of writing my name wrong. But anyway, I guess my name is Mashua today.
Yeah.
But, so today's episode, we are talking about money, right? Just not even just specifically about money, but like lessons that we've learned about money and like saving, budgeting, investing, things like that in our 20s, late teens. Because first of all, I feel like a lot of us don't like get taught this in schools or like even in immigrant families. A lot of us don't really grow up with like financial literacy. So we had to kind of teach ourselves like along the way, learn from friends, learn just like as we got older, the hard way. And we did make an episode. I mean, we made a few episodes, right? On budgeting. We made episodes on like money.
We made a couple episodes on just like pieces of advice for like finances. Youngers,
yeah.
But I think this one is more gravitated to just like talking about what we learned and talking about like the failure, like the realizations we've had with money and just like obviously like the mistakes that
the
we've
hard
made
lessons,
like in our
20s. Because we also know we have like very young listeners and we love to like just sorry, I had to.
It's all good. It happens.
So I had to, we want to like show you some of the things that we've learned and like just help you along the way, you know, just in case this is the only means of like learning or education for you about money.
Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah.
If y'all got money problems, this is the first place y'all going. Y'all got more problems than just money.
At the end of the day, please don't take what we say so high. To high standards.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're just gipping gups, you know, like, at the end of the day. And, like, we're not professionals. We're not experts. But this is just, like, us with, like, the knowledge that we kind of learned along the way. So, you know, we are not, like, finance majors. We don't have any.
I was for, like, a week.
Yeah, for a week. And then what? You switched out completely different to, like, marketing.
Couldn't make it happen.
He did. He is a finance bro now. But it's like, just novice, you know, novice knowledge.
I wouldn't say we're novice.
Not
you
novice.
Know, we're like,
intermediate.
We're like, you know, like
intermediate.
Fair.
Fair. Like on a rating, like novice fair.
Like a 5.8.
Out of 10?
Right?
You think?
Yeah. Because what's like a 2 is like.
A 2 is like. You I've just learned what my, like been, you I've learned been, what the coins I've just were. Yeah. Like you learned about penny quarter. Like. Yeah, I think we're a 5.8. Like a 6.
Yeah.
6-ish.
Drop your ratings.
Yeah.
On the financial literacy score.
Yeah. Obviously, if you guys are listening to all the way to the end, we have our emoji of the week. So
our
make
emoji.
Sure you
y'all know I used to think it was emoji.
He dropped that fun fact on me the other day and I was like, you should never speak that.
I was for real, like I said it in a sentence once in senior year of high school. Like this wasn't like when I was 5, this was like 18.
Right.
I said it in
like
a
grown
sentence.
Adult.
And one of my old friends, he looked at me, he was like, what the hell did you
just
say?
Never
I was like,
that again.
Yeah, drop your favorite emoji.
Bro,
not,
we're
no,
telling them
favorite.
To do so many different things.
Yeah, right. I got work to do.
All right, you want to start out?
So, little debrief. I didn't have a savings till I was like 21.
Mm.
Before I was 21, there was less than $1,000 in my bank account a majority of the time. That's because I was a very horrible habitual spender.
No, I feel like that's normal for a lot of American, like people in that age bracket in America.
Well, normal or not, it's not right. Mm. It's not the right way to go. And it's not good because like I would have had more money in my bank account if I didn't spend as much and if I wasn't like so reckless with my money. You know, it's not because I wasn't earning enough. I was earning enough. I just was a bad spender and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just the feelings that I would get from seeing like $1,000 in my bank account, $2,000, $3,000. And whenever it went up, I just felt so much better. And I think most importantly, I just felt so much more freedom. Like I felt so much more like, you know, I felt like the pillow under me just got like thicker and like softer.
That's a nice,
like
metaphor.
You know, because like when you're living life with like $200 to your name, like, you know, you're not expecting anything bad to happen. You're not expecting any big expense that you have to pay for. But and I'm lucky enough and I'm like honest enough to say that, like, God bless, alhamdulillah, I did not have anything bad happen to me.
Yeah.
Because if something bad happened to me, I would have been done, like done. So a major lesson that I learned in my early 20s is just save as much as you can.
Mm.
It's simple, but like if nobody's told you, save as much as you can. Not for like the you know, in case of emergency part, but just like, I don't think you understand how free it just makes you feel and how much freedom it brings to your heart. Just knowing that, like, you're gonna be good if shit hits the fan. Of course, we're never expecting things to go bad, and we're never hoping for things to go bad, obviously. But like, you just never know, you know. And it's just like, I wish I just started saving earlier, you know. Like, apart from the investing stuff, apart from like, you know, what to do with your money to make it multiply, it's just saving it, just adding it to your bank account. I wish I did that more.
Yeah,
you know, and you realize that like a lot of the shit that you're spending money on, you don't need to, you know. And it's like, don't sacrifice what you have and what you need for what you don't have and what you don't need. You know, like a lot of time I just spent money on shit that, you know, I'll get more into it. But yeah, my main was is, you know, save as much money as you can.
I think on the same bracket, like saving money, but also with like short term luxuries and things like that, if you aren't able to buy it more than once, like maybe you shouldn't buy it. Like maybe you're actually not in the path to buy that luxury bag that thing. Like, for example, like, you know, if you saved up all this money to buy a bag for yourself, which is great, like obviously you're treating yourself. But then you spend all of your money to have that bag and now you have nothing left. Like, was it really worth it? Because now it's like you don't have anything emergency, like you don't have emergency money left over. You don't have any money left over. So like, I wouldn't say this for like a house. Like, obviously, if you buy like a house with like most of your savings, I'm not going to say, oh, have like an extra $500,000 to like have another house. Like, if you want, you know, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like for short term things that you might not really need, it's not a necessity, and you're just like just saving all your money just for that item, but then you're broke after that, but you're trying to show off that you are wealthy with this like luxury item, like maybe it's not worth it, you know.
And to add on that, you know, I think a big realization I had was when I think about savings, when most people think about savings, they think savings is just income minus expenses, whereas if you really think about it, savings is really just income minus ego.
Think about it.
You know,
what do you mean by that? Break that down.
You know what I mean by that? Because a lot of y'all be spending shit that you don't need to spend money on. A lot of y'all be buying that new Chrome Hearts, that new Ricky, whatever it is.
Damn.
Just so when you're walking down the street, someone random looks at you for a couple extra seconds. And you know what I also realized? When we buy luxury things, a lot of time we're buying it hoping for respect and admiration from our peers, you know. But what we don't realize is that when we're getting or receiving said respect and admiration from our peers, they're not actually respecting you or admiring you. All they're doing is just envisioning themselves in your shoes, you know. So if you see someone drive down the street with a really nice car and you're looking at them, you're not looking at the person. You're looking at the car, and you're thinking about you in that car. And it seems like, you know, you're envious of the person. But no, you're just looking at the scenario, and you're imagining yourself in that, you know. But the person who's in the car, this is called the man in the car paradox. I learned about this. The person in the car is looking at you, and they're like, man, that person respects me. Whereas, like, that's not the situation. That's not what's going on. It's really just them looking at the situation and envisioning themselves in it.
Have you ever heard of Instagram rich but like real life poor?
Yeah,
there's like that. This phenomena where a lot of people on Instagram, social media, influencers especially, you know, they have this luxurious perfect life, they seem like they have it all right, but then in real life when the bill comes, everyone's just like hands off, no one wants to pay, everyone starts getting like a little cheap, you know. And it's just like, damn, we thought you had this beautiful amazing life on social media, like what happened? And this just shows that like there's such a dark background with like spending more than you have, pretending like you have a lot of like luxury items and a beautiful house, whatever it is, but in real life you're in so much debt, and in real life you have like no money, you know. And it's like such a big thing now that social media is, and even think about like brown like people in our families, like just like South Asian people, like children, like immigrants who have immigrated here, and they have like this idea of like the dream life, and then they're like, oh, like we're in America, might as well buy all these like things to build our social image and make it seem like we have all this money, let's buy all the like clothing and stuff. But in reality, they're like, they can't pay bills, you know.
And talk about it.
That's all I gotta say. You know, that's all I had to say.
Talked about.
I feel like we talked. What episode did we talk about that?
I don't know. A lot of them.
Family reputation. We talked about that in a recent episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like the social image of you looking good when in real you're not good. You're not good at all.
And the thing is, like, when you realize that, like, for us, that picture means a lot. But, like, for people that are looking at it, they're going to forget about that.
Yep.
In a couple minutes. You know, it's like you hear all the time about, like, you know, how to you know, relieve, like, your shyness and, like, working on being, like, more, like, open when you're in public. You know, just, like, going out to someone random and, like, talking to them. Mm-hmm. You know, just saying, like, hi, what's up? How are you? What's your name? Where are you from? Random shit like that. So many people are just scared to do that. Like, for the fear of, like, that person's going to look at you weird, or, like, that person's going to, like, be weirded out by, like, oh, like, whatever, and, like, walk away from you. That's what people are scared of, just, like, the rejection, mm-hmm. you know? And it's, like, we fixate so much on the rejection. We fixate so much on, like, the reaction that the person is going to give us. But to them, they're going to...
They don't care.
They're going to forget about it. They completely forget about it in 5 seconds. So same thing with
pictures.
At
the end of the day, the end line is, if you can't buy more than once, don't buy it. It's not worth it. That's it for me, you know? Because it's, like... Especially in your 20s. I mean, whatever age you are, you feel like you have to flex and, like, be better than everyone else. Whatever. It's a hard world. I get it. It's like you want to have a one-up on other people. But it's, like, it's not worth it, you know?
Nah, but, like, Mashua, like, I really worked hard for, like, this bag. Like, what you mean, like, I can't have it?
Right?
Like,
you can have the bag, but just, like, buy food for yourself first.
Like, pay y'all electricity
like,
first.
Like, bro, yeah, pay for, like, for the kids are crying at home. You're buying a bag.
You're hungry. Feed yourself. You don't need that.
All right, my next one is, think about it, all right? You can't build wealth if you have so much debt on your name. Think about it, all right? Because a lot of people nowadays, they're like, oh, I got a credit card. I'll just put on the credit card. I can buy this. You know, I don't have to pay for it right now. Or even Klarna. Bruh, shit is a downfall for me. Thank God. I've actually never used that.
Afterpay?
Afterpay, yeah. Like, you know those things where it's like when you pay for, when you try to buy something online, there's like installments that you can pay every few months. My brother, remember, he was like, yeah, I gotta pay up.
Yo, he bought Crocs. Yo, if y'all using Afterpay to buy Crocs, listen to what she just said. Y'all don't need those cracks, okay?
Because my brother is, like, paying off, like, a couple of dollars every single month. I'm like, bro, just don't buy it.
Like, $8.99 a month.
It's wild. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you continuously buy, like, these small purchases every month, and then you have all, like, credit card debt, but then on top of that, you have, like, Afterpay installments for your, like, shoes that you could have just, like, not bought or, like, you know, paid in whole, it's just, like, so much. And people just, like, have this... like what's the word, like, they on the back of their mind they think they have like this safe landing page. I don't even know what the hell.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying.
They think that they're safe. They think that they're safe because they're like, you know, they have the credit card that they can fall back on, right? That's what I'm trying to say. But really, that's false security. Okay,
false security.
It's a lie. It's a facade.
False alarm.
Because at the end of the day, if you have $20,000 in school debt, credit card debt, and you're continuously buying and buying, and you're trying to build your wealth, that's like, first of all, bringing your credit score down. It's also like just at the back of your head, you know, it's like always there. Like, you might as well just start paying that off in small installments instead of just like digging yourself deeper in a hole, because that can really like ruin you.
Nah,
you
know? But like Mashuya, like I really like I'm really like I got ADHD, like I'm really scared to like open up that credit card and like see that I gotta pay six bands. I got $10. What do I do? Nah, but what I like about what you said, because it was kind of a double entendre. I don't think you realize this, but I'm a poet, so I realize this.
Right.
You know, you said, you know, you can't build wealth without. Or you can't build wealth when you have debt, you know?
That's what I said.
But same when you think, like, emotionally. Like, you can't build mental wealth if you still have mental debt, too.
That's
you know,
good
you
one.
You can't be good in the head. You know, you can't have, like, mental clarity if, like, you got so much,
that,
like,
huh?
Mental baggage.
That hit you hard, huh?
Feel me? You know, you need to you know, clear take that the step first. Back to take the step forward.
You're the poet. Forward. Yes, sir. All right, buddy. Yeah, got one?
Yeah, I got one. Yeah. It's a little contradictory, but y'all got to hear me out.
Hot take?
Y'all got to hear me out.
Hot take.
Not really.
Just it's going to be like,
contradictory
money.
To what I said. Be reasonable instead of rational sometimes.
What's that mean?
That's what I mean. As we grow and continue to learn more about financial literacy, we, you know, we'll go on YouTube, we'll look at, you know, all these videos, we'll ask, you know, our mentors or people older than us just like for financial advice, and we're intaking all this information. And, you know, there isn't one way to become wealthy, but there kind of in a way is, which is just, you know, save your money, invest your money, mm-hmm. let it compound over time, you will make money, you know. So in a way there is kind of one way to make money.
Yeah.
But a lot of us still don't do it, you know. So why don't we do it? It's because we're human and things come in the way. Yeah. You know, so for example, say you have a car. You put a down payment, a couple $1,000, you're paying a monthly payment of $250 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say you've been paying that $250 a month, blah, 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 for a couple years, then the amount left for your car has gotten down to like $4,000. You know, it started at like $9,000, $10,000, now it's at like $4,000. Cool. Say over time, you know, you've saved money, blah, 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 you have like $8,000, $9,000 in your bank account. The financially like smart thing, like by the textbook thing to do would be, you know, like you have a good salary, you're making good money. Instead of just paying off that car, losing those $4,000, put those $4,000 into, you know, the stock market or like an index fund and let that money grow over the next couple of years, and mm-hmm. then that $4,000 will become $8,000, you know, mm-hmm. instead of just using that $4,000 to pay off the car.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of time we're human, you know, and a lot of the time paying after that car is just going to make us feel better.
Yeah.
We know that we could put that money somewhere else and like in a couple of years it'll be more. We know that. You know, all this financial literacy stuff, we know. And it's not, I'm not saying that any of that is wrong. It's all right. But a lot of time you got to be honest with yourself and you got to be human first.
I think people think like they're scared of the risk and they're scared of like not knowing exactly where their money is going. Like for example, if you buy the cars for yourself, you know you're going to have it. Blah, blah, blah. But if people put it into the stock or, you know, whatever else, they're kind of just like unsure of how it works. Like, you know, it's just like uncertainty, risk, just like little.
No, I get that. And yeah. Like the point I'm saying is like, I think in that situation, it's better to just pay off the car.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what I mean by like, it's okay to be reasonable instead of rational. Because the rational thing to do, the textbook thing to do is to put that money somewhere that it'll compound.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you'll learn in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is it's okay to be reasonable with yourself. And the reasonable thing to do, which is, you know, if that payment is really annoying you, if you know you have the money, if you know that, you know, you're going to continue to make money and that payment is just pissing you off, and you just want the mental baggage out of your head, mm-hmm. just pay it off, mm-hmm. you know? So I say that to say, like, first, to follow this advice, you need to like have an honest evaluation with yourself. Like don't take this as like, oh, Masha said be reasonable, so I'm gonna go buy this, you know, just cause, even though like I know I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is like be honest with yourself and be honest with like what is like
what your needs are at the moment.
Yeah, because like what I said before, like a lot of our expenses are just ego, you know. So separate what is like action and expense and what is like your ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put that ego aside, like that stuff you don't need, and you can reward yourself when you make money over time, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like take those actual expenses, evaluate how they're making you feel, and like at the end of the day, like if you have mental peace and clarity, like you are,
that's
big. You can work harder and you can make more money.
Sometimes like getting a car for yourself in that moment is an investment towards yourself that makes you want to do better, to like save money or whatever. Like that's your priority in that moment. Like even like when I first moved out, you know, I had money obviously, but I didn't have money like that to just like drop everything, move out alone, live alone in New York, buy all this furniture, this and that, and like it would have been better.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Start to just like save money, stay at home, and like invest or whatever and grow my income. But in that time, it was for me, I knew that the investment that I needed to do was to move out and have that space for myself and then have the space to like grow my income and like grow my passions and things like that.
You got it.
That was a good one.
We won.
I honestly, because I don't have a traditional job, so I don't really know exactly how that works. And I feel like this is like me as a 25-year-old, I'm saying that. Like, imagine like a 17-year-old, you know?
I mean, one, it's easiest to just get a 9-to-5 and to let your HR people explain it to you. Because at the end of the day, like, that's their job to understand what, like, their company benefits are and, like, how to educate people about them. So if you are working a job and you don't know what that stuff is, your HR department is responsible for that, and they are more than I hope they are more than willing to like hop on a call with you and just explain things to you. Like, my mom did that with her job, and obviously like my mom, a lot of our parents have difficulty understanding what like retirement funds are and like like all this stuff, and she went to her HR department, was like, hey, can you explain this to me, because I just don't really understand. And they did it for her, and she has a better understanding of it.
That's great.
So, like, that's the first piece of advice, is, like, you know, you don't got to sit and wonder.
Yeah.
And
like,
you
actually
don't
get that.
And, like, you're not being, like, a disturbance to somebody for asking them, especially if it's their job, you know? So, yeah, number one is just go through, like, your company. But, like, to answer your question, they're just like retirement funds that compound over time.
Okay.
So say you have a job, your salary is like 60K. After taxes, you get like $4,000 a month, right? So every 2 weeks, you get $2,000. Say your paycheck is $2,000. You have the opportunity to contribute some of that $2,000 a month or $2,000 every 2 weeks and put it in another account.
Instead of taking
$2,000 into your Chase account, you're taking $1,700. Putting that $300,
which I feel
in,
like
in another,
a lot of young people do, because they're like, oh, more money for me, like right now, you know. But that's
I
like,
still do, like I did for a long time.
That's
what I'm telling you. This, and
it's
I think
like short term.
I think a lot of people, because when we see that all of our money is not coming to us, we see it as like we're paying for something that we don't have to, because our money is going somewhere else instead of our bank account. Because when we're young, we just think that the money in my bank, I have $5,000 in my bank account, that means I am worth $5,000.
Right.
Even if you have $5,000 somewhere else, you're still equating your worth to like what you can see. A lot of time, what you gotta learn about money is like, a lot of time it's like it's stuff that you don't see. Like, it, just because it's not your bank account doesn't mean you don't have access to it. You know, so it's like people are just seeing it as like an extra payment when it's not. Like, it's still your money.
It's
you could
still,
access
it.
It's just there.
You're just,
you know, it's like if you got two, if
there.
You got like three chocolate chip cookies, and you're like, you know, I'll put this one over here because, you know, I'm gonna have it in an hour. I'm gonna have these two now. That's still your cookie. That's your cookie. It's there. If you really, really need that third cookie, you could get it. Nobody's stopping you, but you shouldn't.
Right.
You shouldn't. You can't. You understand? Like,
I get it now that you said it like that.
Exactly. So say, you know, however much money you put in, you contribute every 2 months or 2 weeks, your company is probably doing the exact same, up to a certain percent. So like, this isn't specific, but just for like the mental image, if you put $200, your company's also paying $200.
Okay.
If you put $300, your company's paying $300. So obviously, with that like ideology, it's best to put as much money as you can, or as much as, you know, if your company is willing to do up to $400, why would you not do $400?
Right. Because then,
you know,
because
if you're doing $100, your company's only giving you $100.
Right.
Why would you not put $400? Right. It's still, remember, it's still your cookie. It's still your cookie. Your cookie's just there. So why would you not do up to 400?
You get extra cookies from your company.
Exactly. It's like putting in like a cookie farm. You know, put it in a cookie farm. It's just growing. It's growing. Cookie plant. Grow more cookie. If you really need it, you could go get it. Let me say it again. If you really need it, you could go get it.
But
it's not
why
like
would
it's
you cut the
But
cookie?
Why would you cut the cookie plant? Because then the cookie plant is growing 18 more cookies. And you're greedy ass. You want that one cookie. Give it some time. It'll grow more cookies. You understand?
I don't understand. At this point, I don't get it anymore.
All right. Understand.
My next one is sign up for a travel credit card or credit cards that work with your lifestyle, right? So something that I did early on was like sign up for a credit card that I can get like travel points on. I can kind of use it for like resorts or, you know, tickets and things like that. It was really helpful when I was like traveling a lot. And in my head, I was like, oh, what's the point in having more than one credit card? Because, I mean, I'm just using one. But first of all, it builds your, what's the word? Like your reliability, your accountability. Like if you have longer credit history, if you're able to pay off all of the credit cards, that doesn't mean spend, you know, $5 million on each of your credit cards every single month and having to pay that off. It can mean like spending $20 on one and just having that you pay off every single month. It can be an automatic payment, whatever. But having more credit cards and having a longer credit history makes you seem more reliable when you are trying to sign for an apartment or sign for a car or whatever it is, because you have like a longer, you know, credit like reliability and score and history, whatever it is. And also on top of that, something that I was also so turned off by in the beginning is like getting a credit card that you have to pay like a yearly subscription for, not a subscription, like a payment for, right? Sometimes it's like $100 something, $200 something, like $300 something. But your sister was actually the one that told me that, like, you know, sometimes when you do pay for these higher end credit cards that you have to pay a payment for, you know, the one that I have or that I had when I was younger is like free, right? And that's the automatic thing you want. It's fine anyway. You don't have to pay for a good credit card. But anyway, now that I'm older, I realize that like if you travel a lot and like you want to have access to like the lounges and stuff, that's what the payment goes to. You can also like the payment also covers like early TSA and things like that, right? Like with the credit card that you choose, depending on how much you're paying for that month or paying for that year, you get benefits that work with your lifestyle.
Like, for example, the Chase Sapphire card, the yearly payment is $95. Mm-hmm. That may turn off a lot of people because you're like, what am I spending $100 a month on? Yeah. Or $100 a year on? Part of one of the perks of having that card is you get a yearly credit of $50 that goes to hotels, you know, so every year you get $50 for a hotel. So boom, that $100 that you're paying, half of it you're already getting back. Mm-hmm. Then the other half you're getting in the absolutely insane return that you get when you use points to buy something.
Yeah,
you know, so for example, if you get the card, also if you want this card, if I pitch you well on it, I'll send you a referral code. We both get a lot of points. If you get 80,000 points on your card, which if you sign up now, there are, you know, damn, starting really bonuses like from like 60,000, 70,000, 80,000. $80,000 points, and you get the $80,000 points if you spend up to $4,000 in the first like 3 months of having it, which most people do if you just put your bills onto that. Mm-hmm. With those $80,000 points, you could get like 4 nights at a 5-star like all-inclusive resort in Cancun. Just like that, which costs like $1,000 a night. Mm-hmm. So with that, you're getting like $3,000-$4,000 in return. So you got to think about like, I'll pay that $100 because the return and the advances that you get with purchasing things with these points is absolutely insane. The Capital One Venture X card, I think, is like $300 a month or $300 a year. One of the perks of that card is you get $250 in travel credit every year. So boom, $250 of the $300 already paid back. You also get TSA PreCheck, which costs like $200. So boom, you're already getting more than like what you paid for initially. So like, so many people are turned off by that yearly payment. You get it back.
One of my friends literally told me that she has this business card that she puts like all her business payments and everything on, and because she gets like so many points and like money back in return, she's able to pay off her like rent expense completely and like all her groceries for the month. Like, can you imagine just not having to pay for your, you know, like where you live and groceries and everything just because you're so good at like knowing how to spend the money and pay it off, right? You know, it's such a like hard learning lesson, but I think once you get more and more used to it, it makes it like so much easier, you know. Another hard lesson that I learned was not to just keep all my money and savings in like one account. It's good to like diversify in small ways, whether it is putting your savings into different accounts so that you don't have easy access to it all the time, whether it is not just saving and just like investing in like high yield accounts, you know, like high yield savings account. If you guys don't know what that is, it's like, depending on what company you use, you get like a small percentage of an interest every single month, depending on how much money you have in that account and like, you know, the period of time. So that's actually something that I learned like pretty recently, which is wild that, you know, that's not something that anyone really taught me.
So like, for example, like if you have 10 grand in the bank and you just put it in your Chase bank account, you're getting probably what, like 10 cents a month?
Yeah, if you're, if you're lucky.
Your savings interest. Yeah. If you put it in a Goldman Sachs account that has like a 5% like return on the yield, you'll get, if you put 10 grand in that account, you'll get like $50 a month.
And if you want my referral code.
Or mine. Or mine.
DM me.
Nah, hit me. Hit me. Cause
I don't even have it.
I got another company. I got SoFi. All
right, so tell them that instead of saying that you got SoFi. Marcus. Yeah, if you want a code, let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something that I learned recently, because it's like, why get few cents when you can get more money?
Because people are just scared, because it's like, if I got 3 grand here, 3 grand here, 3 grand here, I would rather just see the 9 grand here, because I'm just cocky and want to see the number.
Yeah, I get that.
But it's like, just put your money there, bro. You'll thank yourself later.
I feel like the scary thing is like when you feel like your money is far away, like if it is a Roth IRA, if it is a high yield savings account, like you feel like it's not yours anymore. Like if it is in the stock market, whatever. But it is still yours. It's just, you know, a little bit harder to access, but it's growing, like, without you having to really do anything.
The cookies.
You know?
The cookies.
It's, yeah, it's like the cookies. It's cooking. The cookies are cooking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Good?
Good.
Oh, last tip. Oh. Try your best not to share accounts with family members or, you know, I know you feel that one. That's why I had to say it, because I don't have too much knowledge on this, but I saw this one TikTok where it's like these besties, like they make all the money that they have, whatever, from their jobs, but they have a joint account, you know?
That's insane.
And it's like, I get it. It works for some people, but it's like, it's not really your money.
If you have a joint account with your parent and you are over the age of 18, get the hell out of there.
If you can.
Walk into a Chase and just open yourself a new account, because please don't have a joint account with your parents.
I think like if you're younger, it's fine. But
if you're
like,
under 18, whatever.
Yeah, if you're younger,
if you're over
it's fine.
18,
but
go
but
walk
just know
Chase,
that there's like other things out there for students and like younger, you know, like teenagers and younger students.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be dependent on them completely, because they can cut you off. Or, like, they can just take your money without you even realizing. Like, it's just so wishy-washy sometimes. Yeah. But obviously, if you have no other choice, then you have to do that, you know? All right. As you guys know, we end off our episodes with some things that you guys send to our Instagram, because we put it up on our story. What are some things that you learned about money in your 20s, and your teenage years, whatever it is. Some of you guys sent some good things. We're going to just do a little speed round. All right? If you guys don't know, our Instagram is at DifficultFish. Our TikTok is at DifficultFish Podcast. All right, let's get started. Time in market is greater and better than timing in the market.
That's hard.
You talk about that for a sec.
That's hard.
Talk about that.
I mean, it just means, you know, another tip that I saw is like, I forgot the wording of it, but it's like, finances is one of those things where it's just better to be safe than risky.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, you know, say you have two people, right? You have Sally, who puts $1 every day into the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Billy, who puts $5 into the stock market only when it's up, and then, you know, takes his money out only, you know, when the money multiplies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Over the span of a year, Sally is going to have more money just because she was safer and that money
Sally's
compounded.
Smart.
Whereas Billy, you know, it's just so unpredictable, you know, and you can't. Sure, he may be more, but the chances are very, very slim. So are you going to bank on luck? You can if you want to.
Come on,
I don't
Billy.
Think you should.
Yeah, Billy.
So, you know, it's time in market is better than time in market. That's hard.
Mm-hmm. That's a poetry line for you. All right. Someone said keeping money in different bank accounts so that you don't have to spend a lot and have other options to access.
Yeah, I think that's really good, like, when you're, like, growing up, when you're older. I remember when I was 18, when I saw $500 in my bank account, I was like, I'm rich.
Yeah, that's wild.
I'm rich. I need to go buy something.
Damn, $500 nowadays in New York.
That shit.
You breathe and that's gone.
You buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Having money in different bank accounts, especially when you're young, is super important.
Someone said Roth backdoor for Roth IRA and mega backdoor Roth for 401k. Invest in index funds and ETFs.
See, like when you hear that just sounds, you know.
I know. There's just a lot of acronyms. But what is that in like cookie terms?
No, Roth IRA, you know, put the cookies over there. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Index it compounds. So like if you like it compounds over time. So over like 30 years, it can turn into 1 million, 2 million.
Not even, you don't like.
Not even 30.
Not
years.
Even at 30. It's a few, you know, in like 3, 4, or 5 years, depending. If you're like maxing it out, you'll have 100K just like that.
Index
funds. You know what an index fund is?
I mean, you can explain it better.
An index fund is, you know, say the most popular index fund is the S&P 500.
Yes.
Which is essentially a stock that encapsulates the 500 biggest companies in the world.
Right. Like Apple.
Whatever. So if you invest $100 a month into the S&P 500, it historically has a 12% increase on interest every year. And you know, between 8 to 12%, something like that. Moral story, it's always going up because it's the top 500 companies in the world that are most of the time are growing, and it diversifies your income to where, like, you know, if you have all your money in Tesla and then Elon Musk says some bullshit and then Tesla drops, your money's gone. Whereas if you put in the S&P 500,
there's less risk,
and he does some fuck shit, your money's probably still going up, you know. So that's what an index fund is. It's always just like a safe place to just put your money.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Any 10-second advice?
I just dropped so much. So many gems.
You did, buddy.
One of the responses that I saw, this would be like my 10-second advice. Someone said, you know, you don't need that $5 coffee. You don't need that $6 coffee.
That's why I didn't say that response.
This is a
hot take.
It's a controversial topic.
And I
Not
feel
really.
Like
I'm making this a
I've
than
changed
this.
My opinion too, because I feel like a few months ago I was also on that same
boat. If saving that $5 on that coffee every day works for you, alhamdulillah, please keep going. But I stopped giving that as advice because, one, at the end of the day, that shit makes you happy. And first and foremost, just be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it's not those $5 purchases that is the major expense. It's those $50 dinners. It's those $300 pair of shoes. It's that $150 shopping spree they just went on. It's that $60 lipstick they just bought. Those are the expenses that feed your ego. It's not the $5 coffee, you know? So again, if it works for you, cool. But I just kind of stopped giving that as advice because I like buying my coffees, you know? Spending $2, $3, $4 a day, I'll be okay.
I feel like it makes you more like scared to spend money if you're like so nitpicky of like the small amount. And I get it, at the end of the month it's maybe like $100-something, $200-something that you spend every single day, and it's a lot for most people if you do coffee and then a small like donut and then you keep building like small purchases like that, it adds up. But like, you know, think about maybe like the little bit bigger purchases that really actually would make a difference. Mine is completely unrelated.
Okay, good.
Maybe invest in like better quality like tote bags, you know, because the thing about me is that I love my tote bags. I have so many because, you know, restaurants and like stores give it away now to like, you know, store your stuff. But I have so many to the point where I don't use half of it, and it's like not good quality.
Yeah.
And I obviously have my own tote bags that I've designed as well, and I use those every day. But I also want to kind of get out of the tote bag era and like be more professional with my bags. But wear tote bags that are a little bit more heavy duty that like can actually last me, and it doesn't just look like.
I think backpacks are coming back in.
Are they coming back in just because you're wearing it?
I'm the leader of the trend.
All right. Okay. What emoji should they comment? I already have one that I can think
you
of.
You know what it is.
The money.
The cookies.
Oh.
Drop them cookies in the comments below.
You know,
if you want to see them cookies multiply, I need to see as many as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. As always, make sure to follow us on our Instagram at Difficultish, our TikTok at Difficultish Podcast.
More solo episodes coming. Hope y'all like the solo episodes. Mm-hmm. We got those coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us blabbering about, you know, manly shit that you won't get. And yeah, you know, like it's gonna be a big year for us, for all of us.
All of us. 2024.
And you know, just like expect, you know, nothing but, you know, greatness.
Yes, sir, my boy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for listening so much. We love you. I love this.
I love it.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.